This is a Glass Box Media Podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Blank Podcast, the podcast where we talk to well-known people about their lives, their careers, and negotiating those difficult moments along the way. And with me today is Jimmy D.
Yeah. I don't think you ever introduced me as my actual name for 100 episodes.
You've got lots of different hosts that you do it with, but they've all got slightly similar names.
And they all sound quite similar.
Yeah.
And they're all similarly annoying as well. How did you do that?
No, not annoying at all, Jim. Not annoying.
Jimmy D. Jimmy D sounds a little bit like a sort of like a smashy and nicey style radio host from the 70s.
Well, I was thinking not really. 60s kind of pop artist, Jimmy D and the Waders or something like that.
Fishing. The Blankers.
Well, I was thinking, yeah, in the Blankers, that would be perfect. I was in the Waders, you could be like sort of fishing themed.
Yeah, when have I ever given off a fishing vibe?
I don't know, mate, but I was just thinking, yeah. It just Waders came into my head, so I said, yeah. Jimmy
Waders
D and the
is
Waders.
A very 60s backup band, isn't it?
What
would mine be? I'm really into tea. Would it be like Jimmy D and the Tea Drinkers? That's not good, is it?
Jimmy D and the Tea Drinkers. I can just imagine whispering Bob Harris announcing you on the old Grey Whistle Test. We have the new prog rock sensation, Jimmy D and the Tea Drinkers.
And you'd be thinking, this is going to be shit. Instead of so terrible.
Yeah. It's no Led Zepp. Let's put it that way.
No, one hit wonder at most. With that name. Anyway, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all, actually. Yeah, not too bad at all. We've got a slightly different episode this week, haven't we?
Yeah, this is where people will decide to switch off and wait till next week when we have a guest again.
Now we have to do positive reinforcement, Charles.
It's going to be our most downloaded.
The landscape of the pod is changed. Yeah, exactly. And then we actually never have to do a guest ever again because we've just smashed it so much.
Yeah, well, that would be handy because it's quite troubling getting guests on.
Well, we like it though.
I love having guests on, but obviously that's the whole basis of the enterprise. But obviously, it's, you know, for those. I mean, this might be a question that comes up, but it's quite tricky booking guests sometimes.
It is. Probably something I'd imagine that a lot of podcasts have. What we need is to be big enough that we have a team of production people that do that for us.
Mm.
And I think we hoped 4 years ago, 4 years down the line, that might be the case. Could not be further away from that.
No, it's just still you, me, isn't it?
Yeah. Just us doing our thing. But to be honest, I mean, that's part of the charm of this podcast, you know, that there isn't any, I suppose they're smooth edges. I mean, it sounds like it's just complete rough edges all the way around. No, I think it's charm. There's a charm to it.
Oh, yeah, there's something nice about it. And I think, I guess, with great power comes great responsibility in that we'd have to be, I think if we got bigger and bigger and bigger, which would be lovely, and we'd love to have more and more listeners. But then I suppose you lose something, don't you, along the way, perhaps. And it's nice to have some control over what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, would I rather have the money? I think I'd rather have the money and the success.
Well, of course, the happiest.
No, I know what you mean.
No, but I mean, there's normally a compromise with that, though, isn't there? If we're going to get deep early on, there's normally a compromise with that. So I guess it's very rare for you to be able to be very, very, very successful and have lots of freedoms without having to compromise something along the way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, like you see all those like on like LinkedIn and like TikTok, all these like really successful people, and they're like, got up at 4 o'clock, I had a diffused lily water, and then I went to the gym for 2 hours, and then I worked, grind, and then I went back to the gym, you know, and all this, like, and actually, you read that and think, bloody hell, that's, I'm exhausted just reading that. Like, yeah, that does not sound like a fun existence. And I think a lot of really successful people burn the candle at both ends. And actually,
oh, massively so.
There is a balance. I think that you're right. There's a balance between happiness, success, creative fulfillment, if you're a creative person, and I guess financial remuneration, enoughness. That's not a word. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
enoughness is perfect. But then,
Yeah,
absolutely. I think, you know, yeah, obviously you want to be able to ply a trade. And obviously if your trade is doing something creative, then you want to be able to sustain your life through it. And we're all looking for that. And obviously being freelance creatives, that can be peaks and troughs, and it's a bit of a roller coaster. But over the course of a year, generally you probably just about scrape by, and that's fine. That's, you know, and then you can feel grateful for that. I think, yeah, we kind of look at, I guess, at celebrities, and a lot of the guests that we have on our podcast, you know, are very, very successful and do lots of things, but obviously there becomes a lot of baggage with that as well, which is, you know, it's tricky to deal with from time to time.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Everything has its compromise, I guess. Anyway, we got deep quickly then, didn't we? We're good at that. We're just, yeah. What have you been up to? Because we don't often ask each other that. What have you been doing? What have you been up to? Anything fun to share with the class?
Yeah, it's not the summer holidays sort of debrief. What have I been up to? I'm dabbling with a few creative projects. I have to admit, I don't know what it was like for you. You had a busy summer because you were up in Fringe, weren't you? You were gigging a lot. I had a really quiet summer, which in some respects was nice, but then you get that, what we were just talking about, that the peaks and troughs of being a freelance creative, you start to get a bit worried that there's nothing coming in. And obviously we're going for a very tricky time financially in the world, and this country in particular. And so you start to get a bit panicky about what's next and what's coming up, and am I going to have some work in the autumn and all those kind of things. So, yeah, I kind of went into kind of creative mode and tried to do some creative stuff and get some projects off the ground. So that's kind of what I've been doing the last few months, actually. And some of those things are starting to come into fruition, thankfully. And I think in the new year, it will be a bit more, I'll be a bit more relaxed about work, earning work, as opposed to creative stuff. But yeah, I've been creating lots of things. Yeah, dabbling in a bit of screenwriting, which has been fun. And yeah, always looking to dabble in new stuff and push my own little boundaries out a little bit.
I mean, this is a question that comes up on the pod a lot when we ask our guests. Never really ask each other this, but what are you like in those moments where work dries up a little bit and you start sort of banging your head against a brick wall, and maybe you're not getting the responses. And we talked about being ignored before and stuff. What? Because I find that really hard.
Me too.
And it's quite triggering for me. But how do you sort of deal with that?
I always think I'm going to be all right, and I become really triggered by it, and very, get quite depressed, actually.
Yeah.
I find it really difficult in those moments. You just start questioning what your every ounce of your being. Not just your creative abilities, but literally everything about yourself, almost. What are you doing? What are you bringing to the world?
Yeah.
What's your place in the world? Where are you supposed to be at? Like, and then obviously the responsibilities of being a parent and a husband, a good friend, all those things kind of amalgamate into it as well, because obviously you're just at those moments you're distracted because you're thinking about those things. But yeah, so it's a whole cacophony of shit.
Which I think was a song for The Smith, sorry, The Fall, wasn't it? And I was thinking Mark E. Smith. That sounds like the sort of thing.
It sounds like the sort of song that Jimmy D and the Waders would sing.
A better reference. That was a
cacophony and shit. Their first album. No, but I think it's the amalgamation
Spiral,
of everything.
Then?
Spiral. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I it's not panic, but it's not like a panic anxiety. It's more a feeling of I guess it's those ideas about failure and rejection and imposter syndrome. It's more that kind of stuff, like, oh, F this.
Yeah.
And actually that kind of, I need to, maybe I should be doing something proper, inverted commas, which I know you've had those feelings around those things as well. And then I have a conversation with Michelle, my wife, and she says, you would not be happy doing something proper. and actually, why don't you just kind of, you know, it normally works out all right. But it doesn't mean that those things, it's going to happen again. It happens most years.
What, I'm the same. I swing it back at you, relate to that. No, but I was like, because for me, sometimes it can be the smallest little bit of creativity or the smallest bit of like validation or the smallest bit of like, maybe even doing something completely different. Like I would like, obviously, Miranda and I've got a 3-week-old at this point, 3 weeks today. And so we're obviously not sleep. Well, you know, up every tired. Few hours to feed him and stuff. Yeah, very tired. And I was feeling so sluggish this morning. Like physically, obviously, mentally as well. Like just really sluggish and just like, oh. And then I went to the gym this morning with my personal trainer, Sam. And I had a really fun session. And I forgot about everything. I forgot about like feeling sluggish. I forgot about everything that's like weighing me down. And just not that anything massive is at the moment, but just like, you know, bits and bobs that accumulate. And physically, obviously, I was like moving, and movement's obviously like really big for those moments and stuff. And then I drove home thinking, oh, I feel really good. And we were like mucking around. He got like he's bought himself some of those rings, like gymnastics rings kind of stuff. So we were doing like core stuff on that. And I was trying to learn how to flip over and stuff. And it was just nice to have a little challenging myself, a little bit of achievement, like achieving something, I'm moving, and then like mentally feeling stimulated. And it was amazing how that was just not even an hour, 50 minutes, 55 minutes. And it changed my day. Came home like a spring in my step and felt like, oh, I can sort of tackle the other stuff now. So I don't know, is there something for you that does that in those moments?
I mean, yeah, physical exercise is vital, I think. Like, even if it's just going for a walk or, you know, stimulating yourself physically, I think it's really, really good. And I'm doing this charity bike ride at the moment. This is just at home in my, I do it in my bedroom where my office is, and I just watch TV while I'm doing it. And I have to admit, like, even though there's still kind of vague feelings of like worry around work stuff, I have to admit that I'm really buoyant at the moment. And I think actually a lot of it is to do with doing that exercise every day and doing that. I'm doing like 30K a day kind of thing, which is sounds quite a lot, but it's not too bad on a bike.
Yes,
yeah, thank you. But I think that really has helped. That physical outlet has really helped with sort of like processing things. And actually sitting on the bike thinking about what's, you know, also, although I'm watching kind of stuff, it's thinking about processing stuff, doing that monotonous kind of thing. I suppose if you're running as well, you get things like that. And if you're doing quite more high intensity stuff, that's good as well, because that's sort of like really, it's quite impactful, isn't it? So yeah, I would say physical exercise is pretty vital for general mental health. But also if you're in those moments where you're feeling a bit despairing. But I would say that, yeah, I think going, like that idea of movement, and often in when I'm in particular crisis around creativity, I will start to look for to branch off doing something else, whether it's trying some other type of writing or, I do a bit like music stuff. So it might be like just like writing a song or recording a song or something like that, or doing something else that's new and that will spark me somehow. That always helps as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder what our listeners, assuming they're still listening at this point, do in those moments. Be interesting to hear. Mm. So do get in contact, tweet us, Instagram, Facebook, at Blank Pod, and let us know. Yeah, in those kind of moments where it's a cacophony of shit. It's a cacophony of emotions, I think, because like you feel, can often feel depressed and down and sort of like, what's the word? Not sort of desolate, I guess, or like despairing. But also, for me, a lot the conjoined emotion is anger. A lot of the time, I get quite frustrated and angry, and like feeling, and so on. Quite often, like that's mixed in there as well. So yeah, it's interesting to hear that physical exercise for you is a thing as well. So do let us know, listeners. That'd be interesting to hear what other people do.
The anger, because I think the anger. I don't know if you, I totally internalize that though. So it's anger. It's not anger at anybody else. It's anger at myself. Yeah. And it's me that I'm hard on.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's me that I really like being horrible to in those moments. Because I think, oh, all those things, you're fucking useless. Why can't you, you know, it's that voice, those voices, which is why, you know, I say cacophony of shit, because it's all this bunch of stuff, you know. But at the same time, generally speaking, touch wood, things work out for a reason. You know, you end up doing something else or finding something else, and it always kind of works.
That other creative thing is interesting. But do you have anything else, like, because I've recently tried to start bringing in, and I know, like, terrible timing with a 3-week-old in the house and a 3-year-old, sorry. Trying to bring in like non-negotiable stuff. So I was like, okay, I'm going to read for half an hour a day, and like, that's non-negotiable. And I'm just going to, like, whatever I'm doing, even if I'm overwhelmed with work/life, I'm just going to like read. I've got this very, what would seem boring to anyone else, I find it quite exciting, a book about football managers and like what they do behind the scenes and stuff.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Called Living on the Volcano by, I can't remember the guy's name. Oh, Michael Calvin. I find it really fascinating. And so it's just like a little distraction for me. Although I've not been very good at that. But also I'm trying to play football once a week, not trying to like commit too much to that, but like once a week, if I can get out and play for my 6-a-side team or 5-a-5-a-side or whatever. The other thing is I'm trying to get back into playing FIFA. We talked with George recently, didn't we, about video games. I'm trying to get back to play FIFA. Oh, no, actually, I tell you what I'm also going to do. My mate Adam came around the other day. His daughter plays football with my daughter, and they're becoming really good mates, which is lovely. We were talking about Mega Drives. He had what was the one before Mega Drive? Master System,
yeah.
And we had a Mega Drive. And I was going on eBay looking at old consoles, and I can get an old Mega Drive for like 35 quid. Well, and I'm thinking of like doing it as a Christmas present.
Don't get a Mega Drive. You can get these new versions where you just plug it straight into the TV and it's got all the games.
Adam said that. I heard about that. Yeah. But my argument to him was, I actually think holding the old style Mega Drive and like putting the cartridge in, and he was saying, and obviously then taking it out and blowing on it, etc.
because
it doesn't work. It's part of the nostalgia. That's part of the enjoyment as well.
No, so, I get that.
So I'm thinking of like my Christmas present for myself this year is an old Mega Drive and try and get like Sonic and NHL 94. And
Altered
stuff.
Beast just, was a good one.
Is that what came up on the episode? No.
Altered Beast and Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage, obviously.
Yeah. And then I think there's things like Street Fighter. That was on Mega Drive, wasn't it, I think?
Altered Beast. Do not recognise that at all. But
it was quite hard.
I'll have a look for it.
And there was Golden Axe, which was similar in style to Streets of Rage, in that you were like wandering along, it was kind of 2D and you were wandering along a thing, but it was more like Lord of the Rings. Like, so there was like an elf and a barbarian and a dwarf with an axe, and you would go along sort of chopping people, and you could jump on these dragons. A bit like, it was like Streets of Rage, but like a medieval fantasy version.
Well, I might try. Did you know that the Mega Drive was only called the Mega Drive, Sega Mega Drive, in outside North America? It was called something different.
Why? What was it called
North America
there, then?
Any idea?
So Mega Drive, was it anywhere? Was it in the same ballpark as Mega Drive?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. It's the name of a sort of 80s pop group where the lead singer was
Jimmy D and the Raiders. Duran Duran. Spandau Ballet.
No.
Sega,
no, one word.
Okay.
The Sega Duran Duran. Want to come around and play on my Sega Duran Duran?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go and play on the the Nintendo Led Zeppelin.
Nintendo Cure. I'm going on.
That's nice. That works.
Yeah. I have no idea, man. I don't think I could be guessing for hours.
No, I'd never heard this. I would not have got it. Sega Genesis.
Oh, Genesis. No, right, okay. There's a little hint. That was the next one. That was the next console after the Mega Drive.
Well, it says here, according to Wikipedia, the Sega Genesis, known as Mega Drive, outside North America.
Oh, because I'm sure in the UK there was a Genesis that came out afterwards. Or maybe it was like the souped-up Mega Drive. Oh, I can't remember, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, okay, so Sega Genesis. Yeah, good.
Actually, this leads me on to another question then, actually, because... So I am going to, like, obviously you mentioned it, that we're both like freelance creatives and money comes and goes, and cost of living is like hitting everyone at the moment. So like money is not flowing, but I am going to try and buy myself a Mega Drive as long as it's not more than 50 quid or whatever off eBay. I'm not going to obviously go mad. And a few games for my little treat for myself for Christmas. And I might, I've got a old TV screen here next to my laptop in the cabin. So I might hook it up there and I can just come to the cabin, play a bit of like whatever.
Oh, you'd be doing it when we're podding. It's boring conversation.
Are you planning on anything for yourself for Christmas like that? Because obviously, like, I'm sure like we all buy presents for our loved ones and friends and family and stuff. But like, is it not a nice idea to have a little sort of like self, or do you do that? Is that something you do?
Yeah, we still kind of, I guess, because the kids are getting older, it's more expensive. We don't tend to do Christmas presents for each other now. But funny enough, our Michelle, my wife, really wanted a nail gun. So, because she's doing some DIY in the conservatory. And
that's so on brand for her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she was like, oh, can I, for my Christmas present, I'm going to buy myself. So she bought herself a nail gun. So funny, yeah. And anyway, our Blu-ray player died. And for ages, I've been wanting, because I'm really into films. And my friend's got a Ultra HD Blu-ray player. So it's a 4K version. And obviously, all the discs are on 4K now. They're re-releasing all the old films on 4K, so they're like much better quality. So I've so because our player died, and a lot of people don't have like Blu-ray players anymore unless they've got like an Xbox or something, so we bought one of those. So that's kind of my present, I suppose.
Yeah,
it was like a family present to ourselves, so we can watch films in 4K now, which is very exciting for me.
Did you have at one point a big projector? Or do you have a projector?
I do, yeah, yeah.
You have one? You do, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because that's really cool, because then they'll look really good on that then.
Yeah, so the projector's cool. Yeah, we've got like a blackout screen that we put up, and then in the summer we use it outside and we have like outdoor cinema. We've got this pergola that we built and we tie it onto that. And then, in the summer, so for the World Cup, if I'm going to watch any of the games, I'll set the projector up and we'll have a few friends over and we'll watch it on the, so it's like 100-inch screen sort of thing because of the, because of the size of the bit.
This World Cup might be a struggle given the weather.
Yeah.
Be very committed if you're out there in the snow watching England draw 0-0 with Iran.
We can put it up we've actually got fittings in the lounge above the picture rail so that we can have it up in the lounge as well. We'll probably do that. Yeah, we'll do it inside. I don't think it's sensible to do it outside.
Should we did reach out to our listeners, didn't we? We've done 25 minutes already of chat. We're just too good at this. So we answered some of the questions because a few people replied to us and asked us some lovely questions. Shall we delve into those? Because we don't often get to do this. It's quite nice actually to interact with our listeners in this way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was lovely. I sort of said to you, why don't we do a Q&A kind of episode? It'd be nice to reach out to our listeners and see if any of them bothered to reply. And some of them have. So kudos to those that have. Thank you.
Who should we start with then?
Well, I think we should start with Richard Astill, who's, I know he's a regular listener. He often sends us nice messages. And he's actually sent us a couple of questions, Jim. So maybe I'll read out the first one. And maybe you could answer this first question yourself. The first question is, what was your last blank moment?
Oh, I mean, to be honest, I should have expected that. I mean, Richard has absolutely hit the nail on the head in terms of on-brand questions for us.
Mm.
I should have really should have thought about that. I feel like I sort of have little blank moments all the time. I don't know if I can't really think of any sort of big blank moments, but I feel like I have little ones all the time throughout the day almost, which sort of stop me in my tracks sometimes, which is something I'm trying to sort of work on.
Micro blanks.
In terms of, micro blanks is a good way of describing them. Have to be, at the moment, I got so much on sort of work and like family wise, it's actually stopped me having blank moments because I've got so much to focus on. And before you know it, the day is over and then it's my toddler's bedtime and then it's dinner time. And then we're going to bed super early at the moment because we have to be up every 3 hours to feed our newborn. So actually, that's actually
there's no really time for blanks. Then.
Helped. There isn't really. That doesn't mean that I don't have like difficult days, where things aren't. Some days are easier than others. But no, in terms of like a big blank moment, have I done anything recently where I think, oh no, I might have to come back to you on that one. The other slight problem is my memory's not very good. Maybe that's the biggest blank moment of all. My memory is terrible, and I don't know if it's because I just have a bad memory or... Oh, I'll tell you one thing. This isn't a blank moment, but I was going to tell you anyway. I discovered something about myself last week or week before last that... I think I told you this anyway. I think, did we chat the other last week? That I have a tongue tie.
Oh, you said, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously your son has got one.
So my son's got one, my daughter had one, and it stops them feeding properly, breastfeeding. And I asked the cranial osteopath, so we've been to see various people, breastfeeding specialists and lactation experts and all this, and then we went to see a cranial osteopath who's been amazing. And I suddenly thought, I feel like my tongue doesn't quite, like I can't curl my tongue like some people can. Okay. I've got a slight speech impediment, and I just feel like, So I said to her, like, what happens if you had a speech, if you had a tongue tie as a kid and it's undiagnosed? She said, oh, you just learn to deal with it. You probably would have a slight speech impediment or, you know, your tongue
bad memory.
I was like, bad memory. You're probably bad at organizing guests for a podcast. You're probably a very mediocre stand-up comedian.
All probably have clumpy shoes.
Yeah. You probably have massive shoes that you never wear.
Mate, they've everything. It's definitely
you probably
want to
buy a Mega Drive. Yeah. And she like said, okay, lift your tongue up and stuff. And she was like, yeah, you've definitely got the sort of tension there. And everything suddenly like, I know this isn't a blank moment, so I apologize to Richard. Everything sort of fell into place. And I was like, oh, that's why I sort of speak like this a bit. That's why some letters I struggle with, ironically J, the worst, which is obviously literally the letter of my first name. And then obviously, and it's hereditary. So that's why
I
passed it on to my kids.
That's interesting. It's a hereditary thing. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but I guess in 1984, when I was born, it just obviously wasn't as known as a thing. No one was checking. No one was looking. And so, yeah, it just wasn't. And it didn't ever come up as an issue for mum and dad. And no one's ever said, your kid speaks weird. Mm. It just never came up. So. Yeah, that's not really a blank moment.
No, but anyway, something you've learned about yourself. On the blank
moment. Big moment.
Yeah, and on those micro blanks that we were just sort of like, I just made up. I've talked to a couple of people recently about this. And I was wondering if we are starting to be affected by the ease that technology gives us in finding out information that we probably already know. So, you know, often I've referenced the internal Google, which is, you know, your brain. I do think that I've had lots of conversations with quite a few people recently where we've gone, oh, I saw that thing the other day on TV and it had that person in it and they were in blah, 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 you know. And what you immediately do is just go rush to your phone and Google it or IMDb to find out who it was and what thing it was. Whereas, obviously, pre-internet we would have taken us a little while to get there, but we probably would have, you know, that whole thing about I'll wake up in the middle of the night and remember what that was.
Yeah,
we don't do that anymore because we can instantly find out what it was. So I do wonder if our brains are starting to be affected a little bit by the ease of technology gives us in finding out information so readily.
Well, and that sort of makes your brain go into overdrive.
Well, no, in the opposite, like we've got lazy brains.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
So we're having more blank moments because we're not utilizing our memory capacity enough. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I live with my mother-in-law and she does a lot of newspaper crosswords, loves the crossword. And if there's any like football questions, she'll obviously come to me for those. But she refuses to look at the questions or look them up. And so I guess that is one way, isn't it, of like stopping yourself using the external Google and using the internal Google. And she will go until she like literally can't. She's got a couple left and then she has to maybe check to the back of the paper. But that's probably quite a good way of training yourself to keep those kind of mind muscles active.
Well, they say chess. Chess is very good. Okay. I was reading a thing about anti-aging, like ways of interrupting the aging process. And chess apparently is very good.
Wow.
For that.
Is that why all the people you say play chess are all like 10-year-old Russian boys?
Yeah.
They've got younger, like Benjamin Button style. They started off as 80-year-old men.
Yeah.
And they've just got younger and younger. They're actually in their hundreds.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but apparently it's very good to prevent aging is chess. So I guess crosswords and stuff, puzzles.
Yeah.
I think are useful. But I do wonder, if we rush to our phones too readily for that. That's going off on a tangent from Richard's questions.
Okay, so what was your last blank moment then?
What was my last blank moment?
It's actually a really hard question.
It is because,
isn't it?
I think like you said, we have these mini moments of various blanks where, I don't know, your mind goes blank, whatever. And, you know, I guess if we're going to be on brand with the general themes that would come up on the podcast, I've probably had quite a lot of the other ones, like imposter. You know, we were talking earlier about feelings when you're not quite right. So, feelings of failure and imposter syndrome all the time. So that's like kind of daily almost. So if we're going to talk about those kind of blanks. But, I guess kind of specific blank moments in a day where you forget something or you lose track of something, then not so much actually, thankfully.
Yeah. Or I guess like blank moments where something's gone really wrong, maybe. You know, those moments where you sort of like stop in your tracks because something's gone so catastrophically wrong, you're kind of like frozen in fear a little bit sometimes. Actually, I've never had one of those for a long time.
No, thankfully.
I wonder if that's what Richard was maybe referencing.
Possibly.
Well, anyway, Richard, let us know. You know, let us know what your blank moments are as well, because that's a good question. Really good question. And we probably should have prepped it, actually. But that's on brand for us again not to do that. Can we ask another one of Richard's questions, or should we go to someone else and then come back to him?
Well, I think we're asked the last one he's asked is after Crystal Palace. There's no after Crystal Palace. What would be your favourite football team? I don't think I've got a second team. Have you got a second team, Jim?
I do. I do have a second team. But it's not in England.
Okay, yes. That's the safe way to do
it. I've got my one team
it?
In England. Well, I lie. I do have a second team in England, but it's not a professional team.
Mm-hmm.
So my second team would be my local team, Chesham United, who are in the Southern Premier Division, which is one below the Conference South, which is one below the... Sorry, National League South, which is one below the National League, which is one below League Two, which is one below League One, which is one below the Championship, which is one below
Premier League. How many tiers down is it?
Premier League, so one Championship, League One, League Two, National League, six.
Okay, that's pretty good.
It's tier seven, so it's tier seven.
Oh, that's
six
below. Well, that's pretty high standard then.
And they're currently third.
Ooh, they
are good this season. They've got some good players. Yeah. So I've been to a few games. During the World Cup, I'm going to try and see a few of their games.
Nice,
because actually it's a good chance to support your non-league team. So if you are a Premier League football fan, you're listening, go and support your non-league team.
Yes.
Now's the time, because their games aren't stopping, obviously, during the World Cup. So Chesham United, definitely. And my other non-English professional club, although they're probably on the board, on the cusp as well, is Bohemian FC in Dublin.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there an Irish team there? Must be an Irish team.
Because my brother moved to Dublin in 2015 and wanted to sort of pick up a team. And they are a fan-run, left-wing, socialist club. So very much sort of fit in with a lot of our kind of like ethos and stuff like that. But also their home ground is called Daly Mount Park.
Oh, it's perfect. The same.
So it's made to be, and Seb's been down a few times, and apparently they're a brilliant, brilliant team, brilliant, nice lads, great club. And they've like hosted, Bob Marley played there
in
the 70s. Like they've hosted like some really iconic music festivals and shows. And they're just a really sort of right on football club, for want of a better phrase. So they're really cool. Bose would be my Irish team, and then Chesham, but then obviously no one professionally in England outside of Palace. I don't think you can have another professional club.
No, I country. Don't think so either. I think, I mean, if you've got if you live in a town where you've got a football club, then I guess they are you probably support those to a certain level. But it's Palace all the way. I think I haven't got time to support another team.
No. Well, exactly. My support of Chesham and Bowes is obviously not as committed as Palace. It is more checking results and popping down if I can to the Meadow. But otherwise, it's not the same as... I thought about getting a season ticket. They're surprisingly expensive. You have to probably go to most of the games at Chesham to pay it off, which is But I am going to try and go down next Tuesday because I've got Adam, who I mentioned earlier, from my little dad's group in Chesham. We try and get to evening games because Saturdays we're obviously watching our kids and they're too young to go to a game at the moment. Mm-hmm. But Tuesday nights are quite a good one. And we noticed last time we went down, Chesham have got a little club shop, which is basically a little port cabin. But in it, they got a row, a sort of rail of old shirts. So we're going to go down and see if we can get ourselves an old... Because the current shirt is still like same as professional clubs, 50 quid, which is mad. If I could pick up an old shirt for a tenner or something, then yeah, I'll keep you posted on that.
Good work.
So that's my next mission.
Good work. Yeah. We've got another question here. It's from Jill Allison. And she says, what would you choose? She said, what made you choose the career that you have? It's an interesting question because I don't know if I chose it, really. It kind of chose me.
Yeah, because you would have chosen, what would you have chosen? Music?
Music would have been the thing, yeah. I mean, that's what I wanted to do, yeah, for sure. That was the thing. And when that kind of went tits up, it was moving into something else.
Well, you did do it. You did do it.
Yeah, did it, but then it, yeah, didn't fulfill all the full dream. And then ended up kind of falling into doing something else.
How did you? Have you ever said, you probably have on other pods, but have you said on this pod how you actually fell into doing what you do?
I don't know if I have. Yeah, no, so for those who haven't heard me on another podcast just talking about it, but yeah, so I was in a band for many years. We toured the UK. We did some big festivals like Glastonbury and Central Festival in Bristol. So yeah, some big festivals. Did a lot of tour. We recorded a couple of EPs. We had management, but it's gutty touring. It's really gutty and it's hard work. And
it's gutty. What's that?
It's gutty, like it's hard. It's
right. Okay.
Yeah,
never heard that before.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's
I like it though.
Yeah, it's hard work. It's really hard work. It's you know long. It's late hours, obviously. You know, and you're sleeping in vans, and you know a lot of it's downtime. You're just sort of waiting for sound checks and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's a hard life to do. I certainly couldn't do it now with a family. I couldn't imagine it. So I think it's a bit of a young person's game kind of thing. So anyway, yeah, I did that for a long time. And then the band broke up. I think, you know, just it was, we'd come to the end of our tether with it a little bit, I think. And then shortly after that, I knew we were going to have a child and wanted to create something for them. And that's how I got into writing. So yeah, there's, weird how these things you kind of fall, sometimes you fall into them, but I guess it's still being creative. And you know, I used to write lyrics and stuff, so it's still kind of, I suppose it is a segue into something else that's still kind of similarly themed in that you're writing. But so that's
you're still in that world, aren't you? You're still in that sphere, that space of being creative and creativity. It's not a million miles away from what you were doing, but that's interesting. It's interesting that what was the feeling like when you started? So obviously you started doing it for love, really, and for pleasure.
Mm.
And then when you realized, I'm actually really quite good at this. That must have been a nice feeling.
The best bit about being in a band, if you're still talking about music.
Oh, no, I'm talking about when you transitioned into
writing. Oh, okay, sorry. Well, I was going to say the best thing about being in a band was the collaborative thing. That was like doing that with three other guys was fantastic, and I loved that camaraderie and the thing. Yeah, getting into the writing thing was, yeah, it was weird because you just don't, like everything, when you try something creative, you never quite know if you're any good until you get that validation of someone saying, actually, we'd quite like to publish this, or we'd like to like make it real. And even now, it's still, you know, I still honestly, bizarrely, find it hard to call myself a writer and author. It's a weird thing. Like you just
No, I get that.
Yeah,
get that,
like
the same.
I would, and I don't know what that is. I don't know. There must be a name for that. Like I suppose imposter syndrome to an extent, but it's a weird thing. Like when people say, hey, "What do you do?" You say, oh, "I'm a." I normally say it last. Like I'll probably say like podcast producer first, or audio producer or something, audio production. Because that sounds more proper, even though actually, you know, writing is most of what I do. And and I've had quite a lot of books published, but I still don't.
Yeah.
Kind of, it's a weird, weird thing.
Is that because I'm exactly the same with comedian and I've only just started owning that a little bit. Like, we had to register our son's name last week, and they ask you for your occupation. And I was like, I think I'd put for our daughter, I think I'd put writer or something else. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I had put comedian. I can't remember. I was like, quite this time. No, I'm going to put it.
Cause yeah, good work.
What I want to
own that, man.
And I am. But like, yeah, but I mean, exactly the same. Is it because you don't like what you do or what you are? You don't see yourself, even though other people look at you and clearly see you as a writer and a very successful one, because you don't see yourself in the same way, what you see doesn't match up with your idea of that. Mm. So my idea of a stand-up comedian is someone that gigs 5 times a week and goes around the country and stuff. Now, obviously, other people might see that differently. And these days, the word comedian is becoming a bit more all-encompassing for lots online or whatever. But to me, because I don't see myself, I'm not gigging much, then I think, well, I can't call myself that. Mm. And is it the same thing for you? Just it's not what matches up to your vision. So you find it harder then to call yourself that thing, even though you are.
Yeah, I think there's probably something to do with it, for sure. It's really hard to put my finger on why it happens, because it's daft. You know, it's daft. Like, you are a comedian. Like, you do comedy, you know, in lots of different forms. You know, you do live stand-up, and you do your videos and TikTok and YouTube and parody stuff. But you are, yeah, so essentially you are a comedian. Essentially, I am a writer in many different forms. But I wonder if it's a bit of a, I don't know about like with comedy, you'd get someone saying, oh, tell us a joke. I wonder with like the writing, it's a bit like, oh, what have you written? And then you've got to sort of spiel out what you've made, and then they'll go, oh, I've never heard of that.
Like, was it George that said, one of our actor guests being like, so what have you been in?
Yeah.
And then you have to start like, oh, well, I did this and this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, I've not seen that.
You have to,
so you have to kind of justifying
it. Yeah, completely. At least I can say I've just been to Edinburgh and had a 4-star show.
Yeah,
I'm just going to dine out on that for the next decade.
And what was great was in the band, I could always say, oh, well, we played Glastonbury.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly,
probably still the thing I go back to. But the writing is hard.
Those things can never be taken away.
No, it's true. And but the writing is because I think you then have to start kind of spilling out your CV of all the things that you've done. And, oh, what kind of writing do you do? Yeah. Oh, I mainly write kids' books. And then I've written... like kind of adult novels, blah, blah, blah. And then what are they about? Blah, blah, blah. I guess I start to feel like that person's not that interested in those sort of things, even though they're asking the questions.
Well, they clearly are, because they
Well, no, no, but like I feel bored. It's almost like, I don't know, it's not that I don't want to talk about it, but I don't know. It's hard, isn't it?
You can have a little like business card style thing that just has like a Q&A one that just has all the answers.
Yeah.
On the card,
just
already.
Go on Amazon.
Yes, I'm a writer. Just go on Amazon. Here's a link. Here's the titles. Here's the other stuff I do. Now fuck off.
Yeah, and then you obviously like because and like you, I do multiple things. So then you got to say, well, I do. Oh, because that is the thing now. If I ever go to a gathering of some sort and I meet people for the first time, they say, oh, what do you do? Because it's I don't know if that's I guess that's a universal thing that people ask each other, those kind of things. And funny enough, I went to the brilliant Sophie, who's been on our podcast, Sophie Green. I went to her exhibition. It was fantastic. Yeah. And I had quite a few conversations. I didn't know many people there. Had quite a few conversations with people like, oh, what do you do? And then you have to say, well, I do quite a lot of different things, actually. Yeah. And then I'm like, in your head, you're like, well, what one do you put out front first?
Yeah.
So if you say podcast, oh, what's your podcast? Oh, well, it's this. And then I have to explain it. And then if you say writing, what do you write? You know, it's... And that, I don't know, I find those conversations quite difficult. I mean, I stopped going on podcasts like, as a guest because I started to feel uncomfortable talking about myself.
And yet we do this, you know, this is what we do. So yeah, I can understand that. I sometimes get in the awkward position of because I do this podcast and I do FYP, the Palace podcast. And they're both quite long-standing, long-running, and got a nice, really lovely following. Someone will say to me, oh, Jim, love the podcast. And then I must sound so arrogant, go, which one?
I bet it's normally
like,
FYP.
Oh, I just do so many. I just do so many. So, you know, I can't even remember. It's only two. But yeah, so.
Well, it's same because I've ended up, obviously, off the back of doing, you know, doing this one, and because we've done well with it, you know, I and it's same as you, I end up doing stuff for other people as well, doing other producing other podcasts for, like, you know, some business ones, and, you know, doing that, and then that comes into the conversation. I produce podcasts. I'm on two of them, and then there's this other one, and then I did, and then oh, what's that one? Anyway, it just becomes complicated. I mean, this is massively first world problems we're saying, but I think it comes back to those feelings of insecurity about what you do, and finding it difficult to have those kind of conversations. I think maybe I'm just not very good at. I know I'm not. I mean, one of the reasons, you know, we do this podcast is to listen to the guests. I'm not probably very good at either bigging myself up or talking about what I do particularly. I find it difficult.
I mean, you say that, we've done 45.
I know. We've done 45 minutes. We can't be too bad. I know. I was thinking.
I know what you mean, though. It always feels a bit awkward. I wonder if that's a British thing as well. It always feels a little bit sort of awkward. But I think people generally are quite interested. I think if you do anything creative, people tend to be interested because there are more people in non-creative jobs than in creative ones. And a lot of those people would like to be in a creative job. So I think if you are managing to survive in doing something roughly in your sphere that you enjoy, people, I think, actually find that really exciting and interesting and actually are quite sort of pleased for you.
Yeah. And I don't want it to come across, you know, like there probably might be lots of people listening who are like, oh, you lucky bastard kind of thing, you know, and I haven't had that opportunity. And so, you know, I'm super grateful for it. I guess I just don't, just sometimes feel uncomfortable talking about it.
Yeah. Well, I think it taps into a sort of natural awkwardness that I think you and I both have around. There's definitely, maybe for another pod, something around sort of like work and identity and why that clearly for you and I holds a big pull over us for some reason.
It probably comes down to our own self-esteem and stuff like that. I know I'm, you know, happily say I'm quite someone who always have the best self-esteem. So I think there's probably lots of issues lingering from like feelings of failure as a child and stuff, I guess, coming out. But, you know, it's really nice. I think I've said to you before, Michelle put all my books up in here in front of me and things. So I kind of go now and again, look up and go, oh, okay, I am a writer.
That's fine. That's really nice. I think it's important to remind yourself of things.
Yeah, and I know you've got your, like, you know, you've got your YouTube plaque and stuff in there, and it's really important to actually.
Yeah, and I got my show poster.
Yeah. It's really important to have those things.
I don't know how to put them yet. But
I think it is important to remind yourself of what you've achieved. Because I'm super grateful, obviously. Really grateful. I guess I just don't want to, like, bang on about it.
Well, anyway, we're coming up to an hour. So,
you, Jim, you, like, obviously, we've dabbled on talking about me getting into what I do, but I mean, obviously, you started your comedy stuff quite a long time ago now.
10 years ago this year, I think. It was never the plan. Kind of like you, actually, it was never the plan. I wanted to be a journalist. That was my dream, and I went to do journalism at university and down in Southampton, and graduated with a solid Desmond, and I got a job in my local paper, did all that, went through all that, and then in my late 20s just felt a bit creatively stifled and started realized I'd always liked writing and doing silly stuff, and then it sort of went from there, and once I got on stage I realized that was something I really liked, and it's just all sort of gone on from there, really. But I use a lot of those journalistic skills all the time with all sorts of stuff, really, podcasts and with my comedy writing and football stuff all the time. So they actually never gone away, so I'm glad I did that, because I think they've been a good basis for writing and for noticing things and all that. They're a really good basis. So I think if you're going to do anything creative, actually, but you don't quite know what, do some sort of journalism or writing course or something, because I think it's a good basis. Now, I've always said as well that I think I love performing. I don't think it comes naturally to me, and I don't think it's maybe what I was put on the planet to do, but I think I'm a writer who performs rather than a performer who also writes. And because I've met a lot of performers through doing this, and some of them you can tell it's just natural, like it's just natural ability, and for me it's more something I've worked at, but I enjoy. But it's, I think it, I'm naturally more of a writer. But that's cool. You know, I'm learning that about myself, and that's,
well, that's something
put that to the test.
Well, yeah, that's good, because you've obviously acknowledged that, and then that's the thing you can work on. You know, you've got, yeah, that other stuff. You like, you've got that the writing bit. Like, you know that, yeah, you've got a ability there, and the I guess the performance thing. It's just a matter of doing it more, isn't it, and practicing and learning the craft, yeah, of it.
I definitely feel like right now I'm at a much more comfortable, Edinburgh really helped, but I'm at a much, much more comfortable stage of my performing. I feel comfortable in my ability and in a much better place. Still struggling to get booked for gigs at the moment. I'm not really applying for many. But I feel much more comfortable with my ability on stage, which is good. So actually I'm now back the other way, because I now should be writing more. So it's all like, when you start off doing comedy, they're like, get on stage, you know, write, but get on stage, that's the thing. And then you get on stage and you get more comfortable, and they say, you've got to write. So I've sort of done a lot of the stage stuff. I need to get back to doing the writing, really. But so I guess being a writer was always going to be in my life, I guess. And it still is in many ways. And actually it's very flexible ability, I think, to have.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we 50 minutes, we are doing well now, aren't we? I have to go in 10 minutes. Okay, so should we rattle through some other questions?
Yeah, we've got a couple more here. One is from Patrick Toe, who is a dear friend of mine. I'm playing a band with Pat, so funny enough, we talked about band stuff earlier. I've played in a band with Pat for, goodness me, a long time, over 20 years. Wow. So it's nice for him to send a message. It's nice that he listens. He says, how do you approach your guests to ask them to come on the show? This is a question I do get asked by quite a lot of people, actually. And it's a combination of different things, really. I think when we started, it was mainly through having Twitter and social media in general, but Twitter mainly, just sort of approaching people directly. I mean, I think I'd even just tweet someone and say, come on the podcast, can I message you about it? And lots of nice people said yes. And then like just general kind of connections from social media, I would message people directly. And that's still my preferred way of doing it. I love to approach the person directly. We have publicists and agents that do approach us for guests, and you know, they've always been really good as well, but it's nice to talk to that person directly, I think, and have a conversation with them. You start to build a little bit of a rapport when you're sort of organizing it, and then it just makes it a bit easier when you jump on Zoom. You kind of have already had a few kind of backwards and back and forwards with them, and that's always really nice to have that. So yeah, that's the main way I guess we approach.
Yeah, that's how it started out. And I think since we've got sort of slightly more regular and more known, then as you say, people are start to approach us, which is really nice and helps, doesn't it? But yeah. We're still reaching out to people, aren't we? And we're trying to branch out. Actually, we've tried, I'd like to say with this series, we're still in series one, technically, but with this sort of latest round of pods, to branch out away from the... It was initially creative people, wasn't it, that we wanted to talk to? But we're trying to branch out now and still do creative people, but maybe do people from slightly other worlds, which I think hopefully keeps it interesting. But initially it was you and your Twitter profile and reaching out to people that followed you. So there's a lot of, reaching out, I guess, and asking. A lot of asking. Begging. A lot of asking, but, you know, that's a whole kind of thing on itself, really, about the idea of asking for help and asking, you know, people to collaborate and stuff. And most do, don't they? We've rarely had people sort of...
Man, we've been so lucky. Yeah, we've had so many incredible guests on. I think, you know, from the get-go as well, we've had so many amazing people I never thought in a million years I'd get to talk to. Yeah. You know, and God, we've spent, you know, 2 hours with people like Stephen Fry and Nick Offerman and Dawn French and David Hare. You know, the list goes on. You know, our back catalogue is, I'm very, very proud of what we've achieved with it. So it's, you know, it's lovely. And like I say, that sometimes the begging pays off, you know, like, but like you say, it's nice now because now we get approached and say, oh, do you want so and so to come on, you know, and that's really nice. It's nice to be asked if you will have people on, But yes, like you say, we're definitely looking to sort of talk to people from other walks of life, not just from the entertainment industry or, you know, sport and stuff, which is what we've kind of, and we've kind of tried to do that, I think, across across all of the pod, that, you know, we've tried to engage with people that aren't necessarily inverted commas celebrities, or, you know, or obviously celebrities, and talk to more interesting kind of from other kind of industries and stuff. And obviously recently we had Andrew Bustamante on, who was a CIA agent, and that was really, really fascinating.
That was great.
So I think, like, yeah, it'd be nice to for us to kind of like delve into some of those other worlds where, you know, blank moments are very obvious and a regular occurrence.
Well, yeah, blank moments to him were like almost, well, they were life threatening.
Yeah,
you know? It was that was fascinating. If our listeners have got like a guest that they're listening to now and thinking, get this person on, then they can get in contact with us, you know, tweet us and tag them in a tweet or on Instagram and let us know. And we will try our best to reach out, because we're always looking for interesting guests, high profile or not. You know, if it's someone with a really cool story or doing something really cool or an interesting backstory, then, you know, we are always interested in that, especially if they got sort of, you know, blank moments that really maybe we haven't heard of before. So, you know, do let us know. We want, you know, you talked before about collaborating. It'd be quite nice to collaborate with our listeners. We want them involved in, you know, in this as well. So do let us know and we'll reach out and we'll try and get some. We do have some quite interesting ones coming up, actually, don't we, over the next few weeks as well. So we are, that is exciting. Shall we read? There's a final question.
Yeah, well, it's on that topic, Richard, really.
There's two people have both come at the same angle, haven't they, sort of. Well, Richard asked it, and then Comedy Sues too has asked it as well. Richard has said, what guest would you love to have on the show? And then Comedy Sues says, what would be your top three dream guests to interview? So should we go for top three? What do you reckon? Or just one?
Well, I think three will be quite tricky, actually. I mean, there's loads of people I'd like to talk to, and there's loads of people we've approached that hasn't quite worked out. And it's not because they didn't want to come on, but it's just timing and stuff. I mean, I don't know if there's any, like, what's on your kind of top guest lists of people that you would love to talk to?
Obviously, sporty people.
Yeah, you love
football in particular. You know that. You know that I just like,
what, like Neil Warnock.
Delve into Neil Warnock would be great, because he is starting to do a lot of.
He's got a podcast.
Pods, yeah. Oh, yeah. And obviously, he's the former Palace manager as well. Yeah, yeah. So that would be.
He would be,
that
good,
would be good. Anyone, sporty like that, or even other sports. You know, anyone sort of big from the world of. I don't know, any other sports really. Football is the one I know the most about.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed Jermaine Pennant when he came on. I thought, fascinating guy, and that was really good. But
I'd like, do you know, anyone... what? I'd love to talk to someone like Jose Mourinho or something like that. I think.
Oh yeah,
a really candid sit down chat with Jose would be really interesting. But yeah, I'm happy. Like most sports, I'm quite into. So Lewis Hamilton, I'd like to have a chat with him. Tyson Fury would be an interesting guest. I think there's lots of people that would be really good to talk to.
What about outside of the world of sport? Is there anyone? Because I've got one, but it's been becoming a running joke on that you and I talk about a lot when we talk about 200th episode. But is there anyone else outside of the world of sport that is top of your list?
Well, there is one person that I've been desperately trying to get on, and this is because Pat, who asked the previous question, and I are big fans of his, and that's John Cusack. I've been trying to get John Cusack on the pod since we started, and there's been a couple of times where we've come close, but it's not happened for some reason. So I'm still working on John Cusack to come on. I like John a lot. I'm a big fan of his films, obviously, but then he's very politically savvy as well, so he'd be a really interesting guest. So John Cusack, and of course, one of our obviously huge inspirers for the podcast, Adam Buxton. We'd love to have Adam on.
Those two
would be two big guests that I'd love to have on the pod.
Both busy guys, though. So I
very
think
busy
probably,
guys. Yeah.
Probably trying to get them on would be difficult. Yeah.
But we have both said fantastic. The Obamas. We'd love to have the Obamas on.
I think that's the pinnacle, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think if we did that, we could probably just retire.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably as good as it gets. They would be fantastic. Did they have a podcast?
I think there's one on Spotify, isn't there, that they do. I'm sure I've seen Barack talking to the boss, Bruce Springsteen. I'm sure there is a pod that they do. Yeah,
he's probably got equipment at home. He's probably got.
He'd be pod savvy. We love those guests who've got microphones.
Yeah, exactly. That would be great. So I don't know. I mean, God, there's so many people we'd like to have on, isn't there? Really, so many interesting people out there, and we've already done 180 episodes, whatever it is. But you know,
188 episodes. So we are getting close to that 200 mark.
We are. Have we got anything planned for that?
There's plans afoot, but whether they'll pay off.
Something will happen. Don't worry, we'll do.
We'll have
a guest. Yeah. Might just be us again.
Yeah, but it'll just be another Q&A session.
Really self-indulgent one. This has been fun. I've enjoyed this.
We don't often get a chance to just chat and you've asked me lots of questions. I don't feel like I've asked you as many, but I appreciate you.
Well, next time. I feel like that's been... Because normally we do our top and tails and we get to 20 minutes in and we think, bloody hell, we are rattling on. People listening for the guest. But actually, it's nice to actually just spend a bit of time chatting.
And hopefully we won't lose too many listeners.
Oh, I think we'll be all right. We'll check the numbers. Don't worry, we'll be checking the numbers.
Yeah, we'll check the data.
Combing through them. Yeah. And if the number's down, we'll just delete this episode.
Yeah, that's fine. Happens. It never happened. Yeah. Never happened.
Anyway, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll be back back on to the regular sort of pods next week, won't we? With a guest,
with a proper person on. Yeah.
Anyway, that was fun. Thanks for your questions, people.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. And do get in contact if you got ideas for guests or what was the other thing. Oh yeah, let us know about how you deal with the blank moments. I think that's always interesting, or just difficult moments. Let us know. We want to hear. And also how you're getting on. How are you at the moment? Yeah, let us know. Let us know how you're doing. Because as you said earlier, the world is a tricky place at the moment. So do reach out. We are, you know, we are definitely happy to hear from you. But that's it. I'm going to go and help with bath time. My daughter's, not
your mine. Own. Have a nice time.
See ya.
Media Podcast.